We started talking together about time, about being followers of Jesus in this paradigm, this thing called time, in this physical reality in which we now exist that commenced in the beginning and will progress until the Lord's coming, when the times will have reached their fulfillment. And last week we talked about the first of three principles James identified that helps us as followers of Jesus actually live in time. We talked about our need to understand who we are. We're human beings. We are bound by time. We live our lives conscious of time. What time is it? Is not an uncommon question, is it? And we're physical beings within this context. We have all the limitations of a physical being. It's winter. It's therefore time for soup and hot pot. It's time for getting inside earlier at night. Yes, we're very much bound by time. Well, this morning we go to principle number two. We need to know what time it is. If you have your Bibles, let's open them together to James chapter 5. Let me read for you. James 5 verse 1. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. James is obviously thinking of specific people who may or may not be followers of Jesus. We can't be sure. But that doesn't seem to be the issue here in what he's saying to us. James wants us to think about their lifestyle. Indeed, as we've just read, they certainly aren't living according to the heavenly wisdom James has emphasized previously. And interestingly, as 21st century people, we can relate to these people. We can relate to these attitudes. This could well be you and me. They had accumulated wealth, and so have we. They had disposable income and happily used it on themselves, and so do we. They enjoyed their luxurious and self-indulgent lifestyle. And so do we. And they did it all at the expense of others. And maybe so do we. Yes, this portion of Scripture has something to say to us concerning money and its potential. It makes a similar point to what the Apostle Paul made when he wrote in to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. However, as I read what James is saying, I see something else going on here. Notice with me once again the larger theme that encompasses these verses we're looking at this morning. Chapter 4, verse 13. Today or tomorrow, spend a year. Verse 14. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. 5, verse 1. Misery that is coming upon you. Verse 3. The last days. Verse 5. The day of slaughter. Verse 7. Until the Lord's coming. Verse 8. The Lord's coming is near. This is all a conversation about time, about following Jesus in time. So how is money and time linked? In Luke chapter 12, Jesus talks about money. He tells a story about a rich fool who simply lived for the moment. He teaches about living life in the here and now and reminds us that where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. What's interesting in Luke 12 is that Jesus links this discussion about money to a conversation about time. And in this context, let me read what Jesus says. Luke 12, verse 54. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain,' and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to be hot,' and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret the present time?" See, there's an important principle to grasp in all this. Our attitude to wealth reflects our understanding of the time. That's the point Jesus is making in Luke. That's the point James is making here in chapter 5. There's an inextricable link between our attitude to money and how we understand time. Both Jesus' rich fool and the people James speaks of betray that they have no idea what time it is. If you ask them, "What is the time?" "It's good time. It's me time. It's time to increase my wealth because that's what will give me security and pleasure." But God sees it differently. Notice again what James says. What time is it? Verse 3, the last days. Verse 5, the day of slaughter. Now, throughout Scripture, the scriptures of ancient Israel, the Old Testament, there was a looking forward to the day of the Lord, to what James calls the last days, the day of slaughter, which is a quote from Jeremiah 12. That same theme is exactly what Peter read from Isaiah. And indeed, the last days, this will be a time of great blessing and great judgment. From the New Testament perspective, the coming of Jesus marked the beginning of the last days. As the author of Hebrews put it, "In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, by Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things." We are living in the last days. Days, the biblical last days. We are living in the last days now. And when Jesus comes again, God will bring these days of blessing and judgment to their climax. There is a subtle message we often attach to wealth. We hear it often. Wealth equals blessing. But James wants us to see that that is not necessarily the case. His rich people lived as if there was no God, no judgment, no eternity, no heaven, no hell. The issue is not people's wealth, but their attitude to it. Yes, you can be poor and still have this same attitude. The very things these people are depending on to bring them pleasure and security actually work against them. Verse 3, it will testify against you and eat your flesh. Verse 4, it is crying out against you. See, we can easily look at the symbols of wealth and tell ourselves that people who have these things have really got it together. They must be doing it right. They are living the dream. But listen again to James's language. It paints a very different picture. His language is not pretty. Misery, rotted, eat your flesh like fire, the day of slaughter. This is the very same sort of graphic language Jesus used to describe the judgment in the last days. But friends, in the midst of this rather miserable picture stands in verse 4, the Lord Almighty. This expression is the equivalent to the Old Testament's the Lord of hosts or the Lord of the armies. And the idea is that God is the Lord of the armies of earth, of the angelic armies and of all the starry hosts. He's the big commander. He's the one in control. He's the Lord of the universe who is powerful and good. He is the one who will make all things right. He is the one who we can trust for our security and hope. And so what is God's word saying to us here through James? I think there's something really important for us as people. Yes, human beings living in the midst of time, living in this materialistic cultural context where we find ourselves. There's something very important for us. Because as we live in our materialistic culture that bombards us with all sorts of message concerning wealth, do we know the time? Or are we blinded to the reality of the times in which we live? Do we recognize that we are living in the last days? And do we allow that truth to actually shape how we live? Or could it be that our attitudes to money betray the very fact that we have no idea what time it actually is? Again, listen to what Jesus said in Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. And you should read chapter 12. It's a very interesting chapter. But let me read Luke 12, 32. As we think of who we are living in time, these times, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that the hope of the gospel transcends this moment in time. And we thank you and worship you this morning as Almighty God, the Lord God Almighty, the one who holds time in his hands, who holds us in his hands. And Father, as your children, we thank you that we can live here now, empowered by your Spirit to bring glory to Jesus. Lord, rescue us from being blinded by money. Rescue us from being blinded by materialism. Lord, I thank you that you are the provider of our needs. I thank you for the wealth we have. What we do have is a gift from your hand. But Lord, I ask that you would shape what we do with that by a biblical understanding of time. Shape our whole being. How we live 24/7 by a correct understanding of time. And Father, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. And so next Sunday, we'll go to principle number 3, where I suggest James continues talking about time and how we live in light of the time. Thanks, Peter.